All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Common Sense Show, and I want to thank you so much for staying with us. It's always really good to be with you, and you can see we have the triumvirate here today. We have Doug Thornton from American Vindicta, myself from the Common Sense Show. We formed the Doug and Dave Intel Report, and we have our good friend and good source of information, Bob Griswold. And believe me, he has the background.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. There you go.
I had to do something since Doug gave his sign.
Sorry. Well, we covered that on a previous show. It was really quite good. But Doug, that goes out today on my end.
You see, I did that really well.
Oh, you did. Yeah, I know. I know right here in honor of Leonard Nimoy, right?
Yes.
I think he was a good man. But man, as I found out in after death, he was a consummate liberal.
Oh.
Anyway, we are going to be talking about the discovery of the weapons biolab in California. And gentlemen, I have information from one of my sources. There are 9 labs that have been discovered, not one, 9. But even if just one, you know, we just go on what we know. There's a conspicuous absence of reporting on this at Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and all the other worthless mainstream media outlets. It's just on our side of the fence that people are finding out about this. So, Bob, let's start with you. Can you recap your understanding of what was discovered in this lab, where it was at, if you know how it was found, and what they discovered, what it means for America?
Well, also, not only what was discovered, but when was it discovered? It was discovered back in April. So we had April, May, June, July. I know they needed a little time to dissect the lab, not to... sorry for the word, but dissect what was there. and make understanding of it. But as soon as you walked in there, they knew they had something that was not very wholesome on their hands. So they did not tell us for 4 months. It was strange that it came out the same time that Devin Archer's testimony came out. MSNBC actually did do a fairly decent piece on it, I found online. So it could be a distraction, but I agree with what you said, Dave. This is the tip of the iceberg, because again, this is why we write down intelligence. This is why we keep it, as a collection and not individual pieces. When we talked about the aggregate is greater than the sum of the parts. And that's what we're facing here, because we not only have that, but we also have the shipping containers that were reported on about a year ago, a year and a half ago. You and I did a couple of programs on it, on the fact that they have mobile missile launchers, and they're both, non-nuclear and nuclear missile launching capability that are inside the United States. So, let's look at the big picture here. We have thousands of Chinese agents coming across the border, bringing fentanyl. It does beg the question, where did they get all these pathogens from? How did they get them in? Did they bring them in through, I talking to Doug about this yesterday, black passport. That's a diplomatic passport. You use diplomats to bring them in and then to disperse them. How did they get all those pathogens here? Because some of them are rubella, malaria, definitely E. coli. And the E. coli goes back to that cult. I think it was in the 1980s. That wanted to win an election. I think it was in Washington State. I'm just calling away from way, way back now. And so right before the election that was going to be held in that county, they wanted their man to win. So they went into a very popular restaurant, had a salad bar, and sprayed it down with E. coli. Well, and at election day, everybody got sick. Their people didn't, because they were told not to eat there. And so that threw an election.
Was this Democratic oriented?
Yes.
Yeah, it was the 1984 Rajneeshi bioterror attack.
Yeah. So, everybody got sick. It's that easy to do. E. coli is not that hard to acquire. I mean, you can just below the surface of the ground, you can get E. coli out of the ground. You can get E. coli from several different places, but rubella, malaria, pneumonia, and others, herpes. They were experimenting this. On top of it, they had those mice that were genetically modified. Now, that does take some level of sophistication to genetically alter a mice so that they could not only catch COVID but spread COVID. And they had 600-700 of the mice there. And all you had to do is let those little guys go. And I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but how did the bubonic plague spread? The fleas that were on mice, and mice do carry fleas. Mm-hmm. So, they get there and they spread those, they get the fleas, and the fleas go bite people. Is COVID contagious in that manner? I would suspect it is, because it's bloodborne, and that's what fleas do, is bite you and, spread blood. So we have here a very, very serious matter. And as you said, it does beg the question, how many of them are there in their country? I would suspect there's probably more than nine. I'd suspect that they have pathogens spread throughout this country, probably in all major cities, have some type of equivalent program where that you would have, pathogens that could make a population sick. Could neuter a response. So if you had an army going in, or a force to take over a government, they could use that to incapacitate large amounts of people very quickly, and go in there and do a decapitation strike.
I agree with the decapitation as a first move. I agree, but I'll tell you what I've been thinking about, Bob, since we've made this discovery of these labs. In Europe, and this is circulating through their media, and we're hardly paying any attention to it at all. The disease organism is called Crimean Congo, and that's a hell of a combination. I don't know why they put those two terms together, because they're on opposite continents. But Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever. We're talking Ebola, and we know smallpox can be an accelerant. and they're saying it's 10 to 40% deadly. Bill Gates and other globalists have been saying something like this is coming. I think this could be the kill shot. It's more potent than COVID because they know people aren't going to stay locked down or wear a mask, so they need to bring something in a lot more virulent. And I think this is what we might be looking at. So did you hear anything at all about CCH, I'll get this right, Crimean Congo Hemorrhagic Fever, CCHF is what they're calling it. Has there been any discovery with this?
Is that addressed to me?
Either one of you, yeah.
Doug, you want to say anything?
Well, so this hemorrhagic fever also goes back to what Russia has been reporting to the United Nations over the last 8 months. They've been bringing up all the 40 different bioweapons labs that the United States has and is practicing with. And just for FYI, they're practicing on the populace by paying the populace to actually come and receive these viral agents, and then the antibodies of it is then gained from them, and they're paid very, very little. And so I suspect that's where this is coming from. But this hemorrhagic fever is obviously something that, you know, has been foretold for at least a year or two. The Crimean and Congo, I believe that the fever is coming from Crimea, which is being worked on by the U.S., and the Congo is part of that whole Ebola. It's a synthetic Ebola. And you know what's bad about that is that because it is synthetic and this lab grown, they can easily replicate it. And also it's patented as well. So that means most likely you could find a patent for it.
I got one thing to add into this real quick, Bob, and then I want to turn it over to you for a reaction. The research I did 10 years ago on Ebola, when we've heard the first, it was almost 10 years ago, 8 years ago during the first Central American mass migration, and Ebola popped up in our country in limited numbers. And I did research on it, and I published this on my website, still there today. The CDC owns the patent for Ebola. Now, you can't own a patent on a virus unless you've modified it, weaponized it, in other words. That's one thing. The other thing is, so there's financial motive for the CDC to profit on this because they'll have the royalties on all treatments and everything else. So they have financial motive to bring this in. I believe if we look at this further, the hemorrhagic is the deadly part of it. The smallpox, I believe, is what will come out of Crimea, is the way Doug just described it. Because as I did research on this, back in 2014, 2015, what I found was they said that hemorrhagic fever, i.e. Ebola, is accelerated by the use of smallpox. And I think this is the combo that we might be seeing. Anyway, let me throw that out there for your guys' reaction.
Well, first of all, Doug and Dave, I would recommend a book that everybody listening purchases and reads. This book here, I don't know if you can see it. It's called Germs, and it's written by Judith Miller. She goes into a lot of this, especially the blend of hemorrhagic diseases and smallpox. They call it a black pox because what happens is the victim, that not only do you have all the symptoms of smallpox, but you start bleeding out. So all your capillaries and everything, rupture. And by the time you die, that blood has turned dark red or even black, and that's why they call it the black pox. It has a kill rate of over 95%, yeah, so it's true. Almost 100% fatal. And I want to, I want to make a slight correction to what you said. Weaponize it. Let's use the term that is more applicable, and I think more Americans will understand. They've done gain of function on it.
That's the current nomenclature. I agree.
Yeah.
Do you agree it's weaponized though? Is it made into a weapon?
Yes. I totally agree with the phrase you use, but I want to put that in contemporary context of what we've seen other doctors, Dr. Frankenstein's do, Dr. Mengele's do. they took it and have, you know, weaponized it or done gain of function research on it, which I don't know if you've been following it. Ron Paul has now referred Dr. Mengele Fauci for criminal charges because he lied to Congress. I mean, they have him dead to rights is what Ron Paul said, dead to rights, that Dr. Fauci was doing gain of function on COVID to make it more virulent. And, you know, all these diseases. And I, again, going back to that book, Gain of Function, you need to read it. They also can put in these diseases, a biological switch that turns off your body's. They know what the immune response is. So let's just say, you know, you're injected with product A. Product A, normal response for your body is item B. Well, they can put in that virus and a particle that turns off the B part so that your body no longer even has ability to fight it because that's been shut down for that specific disease. You know, Robert Kennedy, I think, you know, everybody made fun of him, but when he was talking about, you know, race specific diseases,
there's nothing funny about that, Bob. That's
no,
real.
No, I know they were making fun of him or even calling him a racist, you know, because he was stating a fact that they do have biological weapons that are target specific people groups. They do have biological weapons that can shut your immune response down to the particular disease that they're trying to infect you with. You know, and in some ways, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. They're going to use the people's resistance to COVID. You know, I'm not going to wear a mask anymore. I'm not going to take any more vaccines. I'm not going to do this. Then when the real pathogen is released, before people understand, when the government comes out and says you need to put a mask on, you need to get it vaccinated, everybody's going to go, hell no. And then the very virulent one contaminates a lot of people throughout the population, and then it spreads like wildfire.
Well, there's one other element to this, too, about enforcement, since you said, hell no, I won't do this. It's the treaty, illegal treaty, that Biden signed without the two-thirds approval of the Senate with the World Health Organization, where they basically take over martial law in this country, medical martial law.
Well,
is simplistically put, but it's accurate what I'm saying.
The other thing we saw that was synthesized during COVID was artificial shutdowns. Remember, the essentials were the strip clubs, the bars, and the abortion clinics, but churches were not essential. Well, the larger picture to that is infrastructure. When you do have a population that gets very, very sick, there won't be people, linemen to go fix, you know, power lines. They won't be able to manage the electricity, the water plants. All the infrastructure of the United States, it takes a army of people to keep that running every single day. You know, men that climb down into the sewers underneath the city to keep it running. Those people get sick, and not only does one element of infrastructure get shut down, all elements of infrastructure are very strained at that point. And so you would have a sickly population with no electricity, no ability to communicate, food problematic because if the electricity goes off, refrigeration goes down, water, we don't know what would happen to it, and so forth. The medical industry would be totally overwhelmed at that point. And, you know, it would give the government a perfect excuse to declare martial law. And once, you know, just keep this in mind, once the government declares martial law, they are never going to let that go. National Defense Authorization Act, you know, there was a response to, 9/11. They're going to never, ever, ever let that go. It's going to be in perpetuity. So once the government assumes a power like that, you know, they'll assume it for the end of time. And that's what I don't think Americans understand. It'll sound good at the time. You know, we need to bring this thing under control. This is a wildfire. We need to cut fire lines to stop it.
15 days to flatten the curve, right?
Yeah, of course.
But what they'll do is they'll bring out every country music star waving an American flag and the moms and the dads and you know, don't kill grandma, and the kids need their freedom and their future. And what they do is they tug on the heartstrings. It becomes this big, huge psychological operation like 2019 and 2020 was
forced vaccination so we can all die of myocarditis.
Right.
You know,
go
ahead, Doug.
It's just one of many different avenues that they can take to strip Americans of freedom and to also take our eyes off of the corruption from this government. Everything that's being done right now is to hide the corruption, which is ludicrous. You can't hide Hunter Biden. To take away from the overall arching corruption from this government, that would prove that Donald Trump is actually the guy who should be president, and also to make sure that Donald Trump never becomes president again. And that means to stop our vote as well. That's what all of this right now is currently about, and that's why I think World War III, along with Civil War in America, like what I've been saying for about 3 years, Dave, by 2024, if we're not in World War III and Civil War hadn't kicked off in America, I'm going to be shocked. Well, I agree with you. Keep inching closer and closer.
You know, Bob, you brought up a term called essential businesses, in which the box stores, the huge campaign donators, you know, the four box stores stayed open and small businesses got destroyed. They shut down, even though they provided the same service. It could have taken the same protocols, safety protocols if needed. But here's something, Bob, I want to throw out for your consideration. As I've researched ESG, it answered a question for me. Why is Bud Light, Disney, Target, these wokesters, why are they willing to drive their business into economic desperation? And I'll tell you why. When CBDC gets in and social credit appears, and now the government has complete control over everyone's finances, these people are auditioning for the part to be the monopoly or one of the monopolies on the other side of CBDC. And so they're willing to take the hit now to go woke, to help with the installation and moving us into a communist, total communist society with extreme social credit. And this is why they're willing to go broke. And this explains a lot of it. So when the crisis hits and CBDC is in place, we're looking at the corporations that'll stay open, provide service, stay active, make money, and everybody else who's not on board with a high ESG rating. And this S is for the social, the cultural. They're not on board. They'll go out of business. What do you think about that, Bob?
Well, I think you're totally right. You can look at it in all aspects of human behavior. You look at the Republican Party. I mean, it has been infiltrated by hardcore Democrats who play neocon. At the same time, they're sabotaging the very party. So you can look at people pretending to be capitalists, people pretending to be Christians, people pretending to be whatever, but they're really there as agent saboteurs. I mean, there's so many of them in the Christian church today. All you have to do is look that every day some, you know, famous minister has been caught dipping your wick, put it politely, in somewhere he shouldn't have, maybe a child, or coming out and saying the Bible's not real. Well, these are people put in the system to bring down the system. And I would say the same thing true with capitalists. They're people put in the capitalist system to bring down the capitalist system, because free enterprise, the ability for people to earn money and make a living, which has elevated, you know, capitalism has elevated more people without any question whatsoever. Capitalism has elevated more people out of poverty than any other financial system mankind has ever known.
So they want to do away with it, Bob.
They want, absolutely want to do away with it.
You know why, though? Let's talk about why. If I have a quarter and all of you have a quarter, no one's rich. If I have a quarter and none of you have anything but a nickel, then I'm rich. They don't want people to have a chance to be upwardly mobile. That means owning property transmission to the next generation, a savings account, compound interest. They don't want any of that stuff.
Doug, Dave, why do you think they make morons coming out of school? Why do you think they don't want educated people that understand history, that understand the sciences, that understand literature? They don't want those kind of people. Who do the communists always kill first? The intellectuals. Mm-hmm. They go in and they kill the smart people. Because those people have the ability. No. I see past your scam here, buddy. And then you get, you know, you get Mozambique. If you know, you know, two to the chest, one to the head, or even if you're that lucky, you might just get one in the back of the head. So you have to look at their modus operandi And the modus operandi is to get rid of the smart people. So we have schools that produce morons, and we have a financial system that is not capitalist anymore, but the people who've infiltrated it now plan on bringing it down so that you have no more upward mobility. Money, the ability to earn money has drove more people to do inventions and to lift themselves out of poverty. I mean, you know, Rush Limbaugh, I think he had just a high school education and he became a billionaire. And he did it through being upwardly mobile, exploiting a financial system that benefited the product he had. And when anybody, and we see it happen, anybody, a teenage kid can make a new software program and all of a sudden he's a multimillionaire because he's upwardly mobile. So you've dumbed him down so they can't make those programs, and you've denied the financial system that allows them to exploit their product to gain wealth. That's what we see going on. So what in the end, what do you create? You create a herd of slaves, a cattle, sheep, whatever you want to call it. You know, Doug has far more cows than I do, but I have, you know, some. I have three cows, so I've got a huge herd. But I can go and corral those animals very quickly. I mean, and their aggregate is 3,000 pounds maybe. You know, I'm 215 pounds. You know, they could, if they wanted to, they could easily run me over. But, you know, their mindset is that I'm a cow. If he has a little stick in his hand, he makes me go where he wants me to go. It doesn't take much prodding for a cow to be driven somewhere. That's how they look at us as sheep, cows, whatever, a herd animal that is exclusively there for their, for their benefit. And what happens to those type of animals? They're sent to a butcher shop where in the end, the people who are doing the herding, get to consume them, eat them and enjoy them. So that if you look at that paradigm right there, I would say that's exactly what they're doing to us. We're herd animals. They herd us here, there, everywhere they want us to go. And when we're fat enough, then they send us to the slaughterhouse.
Slaughter for the slaughter. Yeah. By the way, with the World Health Organization taking over in the midst of an artificial or creative pandemic, vaccinations will be mandatory. There'll be no health exemptions, nothing. You could be on your deathbed and you won't get medical care unless you take the vaccination. Precisely. I've read the World Health Organization plans. I mean, we're talking martial law based on medical dictates. Well, Doug, do you remember our discussion about EFS? I think you were talking 18. Mm-hmm. Celeste Solomon and I talked about those provisions. They have camps they'll send you to. They go to great detail, HHS does, on describing how they'll get people to camp. They have 17 federal agencies listed. Not one of them's a medical facility, guys. It's an extermination camp they'll be sending people to.
Yeah, it's all babysitted by federal law enforcement. That doesn't make me nervous at all. I mean, even at one point in time, you know, my agency was used in it. I've been to multiple of these camps. Currently, they only house illegal people, people not from this country who came here illegally. To throw into this big, nasty meat pie, we're going to have soon processed meat. We are becoming more and more like Judge Dredd every day, and it's scary. Let's bring up the draft, because now with Ukraine, it's just nothing more than another proxy from America. Now that Ukraine has struck Russia again with another bomb that was attached to a drone, we see that Putin is becoming anxious and that he's starting to become a little unraveled by this. And he sees that NATO is not backing down, not de-escalating, not suing for peace. He's having to prepare for total war against his country. We know for a fact everything that's going on right now is about regime change and getting Putin out. So Putin understands this. They know Putin and his people know that they're going to try and kill him, most likely from the inside first. And then if not, We'll do to him what we did to everybody else. We'll come there with freedom and love and kill your entire country.
Doug, Dave, we're bringing democracy is the term.
Oh, democracy. Right. I think that what we're going to see is a very real chance of Russia having to do a preemptive strike on America. I called this the beginning of last year, whenever all this started with Russia invading into Ukraine, that eventually there's going to lead to an escalation where Putin is going to have his Russian military hit American social media and try to get us, the American people, to stop the Pentagon, Congress, and the White House from starting total World War III. He's going to make a plea to the people. This is my prediction. He's going to make a plea to the people, and it's not going to be listened to. Our pleas won't be heard. These people will continue to push forth until all-out war is the only possibility. And Russia knows that. And once again, throw in your grid down, your EMP, your whatever situation. This is where we talk about the preparedness issue and then bring up, you know, all the bioweapons labs. Everything has been in place here in America for this coming time period, specifically to take us out of the fight. And not just to take us out of the fight, to keep us out of the fight. What do you guys
think? I think social media will listen, but you'll very quickly be branded as a Russophobe, and they'll come after you for supporting an enemy. They'll make it a treasonous offense.
Well, there's a lot
for Russia.
There's a lot of guys who are still around from the Cold War, God bless them, who believe that, you know, the current state of Russia is as evil as it was during, you know, World War II and
excellent point.
And all that. And even if that is true, even if you know, Putin is still diabolical, even if, you know, the gulags are still housing millions of people and killing millions of people, what they do in their country is their problem. Because we sure as hell don't care about the gulags and the prison camps in China, you know, which I think is more of a threat to the world, the way China views the world, than the way Russia does. And all I can say is currently, it just appears that Russia is trying to survive financially and grow its empire, which that becomes a territorial, local, regional problem, not an American problem. But we have made it into a regime change, and that's what Obama wanted. That's what the CIA did for Obama, and we can't dig ourselves out of this trench anymore because apparently either Putin's not going along with the game plan, and he's a threat to the game plan, or this is one of the kingdoms versus kingdoms.
Doug, it's also assets. Russia has so many natural assets, timber, water, minerals, gas, you name it, they have it. And Western companies want to go in there and exploit it.
Yep.
You know, you can read the book Diary of an Economic Hitman. I highly recommend that. And that's what we've done for the last 1,500 years, is gone into these countries, promised them great wealth, promised them infrastructure development and all this other things. But at the end, the nation has been left in ruins, the people exploited, and, you know, we have, you know, just used their natural resources. Well, you know, Russia has those natural resources, and, you know, greedy businessmen, globalists look at that and they want them. You know, we have to always ask the question, why is this happening? You know, wherever you see the spirit of lawlessness in operation, you cannot have just government. They're impossible to have together. Righteousness exalts a people, but sin is a reproach to any people, is what the Bible puts it. You know, and we just see this spirit of lawlessness, which I think is the preamble to the rise of the Antichrist. We see this spirit of lawlessness coming into power. And you have to know, you know, when that happens, again, quoting the Bible, when the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? We have to understand why this is happening, because the naysayers are out there saying, oh, it's the trio porn show, a fear porn show. I want to correct that, a fear porn show.
Thank you.
Yeah. But anyhow, so we're just spreading fear porn. But if you look at the word of God, Deuteronomy 28, if you look at the prophecies concerning the end of the age, if you look at history, you know, it's amazing how if you look at the Civil War, you know, people say, yo, you've always been preaching that. Well, the Civil War had about a 20-year buildup to actual kinetic action from the mid-1840s to the 1860s. You know, it was free states versus slave states. And so, you know, when they were allowing new people in the Union, you had to keep that balance between free and slave states. Because if not, then the thing exploded. Well, you look at red states, blue states today, and you could make a very, very strong argument the same thing's happening all over again. But so we see a long time it took to build up to there was kinetic action in the Civil War. You go to World War One. You know, we had you had build up to it, but there was one specific action that kicked it off, and that was the killing of Archduke Ferdinand. And that's sent the whole world into it. And again, with Hitler, there was a buildup to it. I mean, he wrote his Mein Kampf. And today we have our Mein Kampfs. We have the World Economic Forum. They're writing. Excuse me, let me turn this off. We see all of that happening. So, you know, why do I know what's going to happen? First of all, God's word says it's going to happen. Second of all, I can look at so many historic parallels to what we see going on right now and say, how did all those end? Well, the Civil War ended with 500,000 people dead, Americans dead. The Great War, World War One, ended with, what was it, 10 million, 20 million people dead. And then World War Two ended up with 50, 60 million people dead. Then you had the Cold War, which, millions of people died during the Cold War because we allowed Eastern Europe to be enslaved. They became prison camps. You just look at what a totalitarian system does. And I agree with Doug so strongly that Russia today is not Russia of the Soviet Union. They're two different countries. But you look at what happens when a totalitarian regime takes over. Name the country: North Korea, Uganda, Russia, China, you name it, North Korea, like I said, North Korea, what happens? You have a lot of body bags. So when you're looking at the United States today and we see this totalitarian regime taking over, who are you to deny history and to say you're going to have a different outcome? It's like, we're going to try communism again, but this time we'll make it work. Well, you've had thousands of examples of it not working, going all the way back to Jamestown, the original colony of America. It failed because it was a communist system. It wasn't until they employed a capitalist system that Jamestown became a thriving community. But we see this happening, and what the result is going to be the same. America will become a prison camp if these people get their way, and millions will die. They say it. We need to kill 25, 30 million people, whatever, 200 million people. They don't care. It means nothing to them. Your life means nothing.
It makes the Deagle report look prophetic, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
Yeah, and the Council of Foreign Relations is now saying that the Biden administration needs to call the first draft because that war is coming. And so let me ask you this, gentlemen. Between the spindly armed, green-haired, nose-ring-wearing Utes that we have out there, who gets drafted first? Is it going to be Antifa? Is it going to be Black Lives Matter? They are very willing to go out into the streets and fight. They love talking about fighting. They're hyper-aggressive. Or are they going to go after the blue-collar man who has a strong back, strong arms, strong morals, has typically a higher degree of self-worth and self-preservation? Or are they going to get the first group of sacrificial goats out there? Because I'm telling you, they'll pull from both crowds, but one will be more dominant than the other.
Well, Doug, I mean, I challenge people today, if you go out, you go to Wally World or grocery store, whatever, do a quick intel on the fitness of the people you see there. Go to the mall. Go to a theme park. Just keep in mind how many of these people could, carry a 50, 60 pound pack in heat. carry a rifle, and then, you know, march, you know, like an army would. How many of these people could do that? Look around and make that assessment. And like I said, what you're going to see is a lot of obese people. And I don't mean this to criticize obese, because I think a lot of it has been planned, you know, with the introduction of all kinds of bad foods, seed oils, junk foods, all of that. They call it junk food for a reason. And so they've deliberately destroyed the health of America. I remember John F. Kennedy, President's Physical Fitness Award. Yeah. I won that award, you know. And so John F. Kennedy recognized that he wanted strong men and women in this country. And so he gave the schools an incentive to get that goal, that we did have those strong men and women. But today, the pool of people that could actually go and fight and carry those packs and carry those guns through rugged terrain or whatever, I mean, it's extremely limited. Because most kids had, you know, taken a physical exercise out of schools. They sit around and play video games and eat junk food. And the last thing that they would be capable of doing is fighting a battle. And that's pretty sad indictment of America. So who will be drafted? Doug, I think you're right. They're going to pull up the people who have prior military experience and try to get them in first.
Reservists first, I think, and then that group.
You know. Exactly. Reservists and then those groups. Of course, to pull the reservist up.
Well, I have a suggestion along those lines, Bob. How about a precondition to stay in this country? Males of fighting age that are illegals, they get to earn their way in the country by serving 7 years.
Well, Hitler actually did that. He actually was very friendly with the Muslim community. And he had a lot of Muslims fighting for him. Oh, let's also keep in mind the number one group of people who fought for Hitler during World War II were Ukrainians. They had the largest contingency of people. The Ukrainians were guarding the death camps.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Treblinka.
Sobibor. Yes.
You know, and the Ukrainians also were the country that donated the most amount of troops to the Waffen SS. There were 33 nations who donated troops to the Waffen SS. It wasn't just Germany who tried to take over the world. It was a congress of different countries joined and united together. And that we're going to face the same thing again. The problem is that we have let in all of Russia and China and all the axis of the world. We've let in most of their troops. We let them in. Joe Biden let them in.
Saboteurs.
Obama let them in. Trump let them in. That's going to offend some people when I say Trump let them in. If you didn't close the border and you were in charge during that point in time, blame is on you. That's the way leadership works. And it's a big sandwich that we all have to take a bite out of.
Well, that's why we got to conclude Biden was a communist agent or is a communist
absolutely
agent. Absolutely. With all of the Chinese crossing the border and all the attention we've called to it, and he still does nothing to correct it. Yep. He's an enemy agent. He deserves to be treated as a traitor and suffer a traitor's fate.
Hey, you know, that goes right along with the Pentagon. The Pentagon who stood against Donald Trump for all the efforts that he was trying to do. And you know what? Even if they don't catch man's judgment on this, God does not miss a beat. So they will have to pay for these sins one day, but we will have to pay for those sins sooner. And this country is teeter-tottering, Bob and Dave, on becoming the next third world Mecca because of our lack of a spine to stand up to these people. Like we can come on a podcast and we can bitch, moan, gripe, and complain about this. But if the American people didn't stand up together, like Solzhenitsyn said, if we would have just came out of our basements with at least any type of weapon and fought back, then at least we could say we gave it a try. But instead, when we do it, we have a January 6th. Everyone wants to rah-rah and wave your MAGA flags. For you to understand the psychological warfare, you must understand that sometimes it's better to actually entice your enemy to grow in size and then keep them humble by doing these little psyops called January 6th. Because who the hell is going to do anything now since CNN moved against you, the Pentagon moved against you, the Department of Justice moved against you? And it's not like Congress can arrest anybody. It's not like Congress has ever drug anybody into the darkness with chains wrapped around them for breaking their oath to the Constitution and betraying the American people by targeting us. No, instead, we all sit around and we go, damn, what can we do about this?
Well, Congress has a function, though, Doug, and I talk about this almost every day.
Cash.
Well, they can defund anything they want. They don't have to give money to Merrick Garland. They don't have to give money to the FBI. They can defund the war in Ukraine. They don't want to. They're all a bunch of whores, except for maybe a dozen of the people there. But they're all a bunch of prostitutes. They serve themselves. They go to the highest bidder. And this is why I've been preaching, if we get to an election in 2024, and that's a big if now, but if we have an election in 2024, I've been saying you defeat 99% of the Republicans in the primary and start with new people. We'd be better off getting three people like us, not experienced in politics, to serve, because we wouldn't sell out our country.
Amen. You know, we talked about psyops. I was watching the QAnon guy. What's his name? He's out of prison. You know, the horn guy. They were interviewing him. And, you know, one of the things he said, he goes, when I first got to prison, the blacks in the prison thought I was a racist. And as soon as he sat down and started talking to me, he goes, after 20 minutes, he said, the black people said, this guy ain't a racist. And you know, how America has bought this racist argument. It's one of the greatest psyops people don't talk about. You know, we have to hate people because of their skin color. Mm-hmm. And they keep breeding that back and forth. Listen, folks, I don't care what color you are. The Republicans have a really excellent Indian guy, I think, running for president. I like the guy. I don't agree. You know, I know you might get some resistance here, but Robert Kennedy Jr. I mean, he is going after the pharmaceutical companies and going after the big war machine.
But he's also anti-Second Amendment, Bob.
He said he wouldn't go after the Second Amendment unless he was presented a bill on his desk. I heard him say that. But anyhow, be it as it may, you know, we have to get out of this paradigm that they pushed on us of racism. We need to shut that one down real quick, because united we stand, divided we fall. And they have done a very, very, very good job of dividing us as American citizens. Mm-hmm. We have common things. I have common things in with Robert Kennedy Jr. Now, I don't agree with all what he says, but the big pharma needs to be shut down. The war machine needs to be shut down, again, even with my fellow American citizens that are black or Asian or whatever, we do have things in common, and we have to realize that, yes, we might be enemies, but our greater enemy is in Washington, D.C., and make sure that ends, because that's how we topple these people and get them out of power. They're destructive to every people group. It's just not, you know, blacks or whites or Chinese or Asians or Mexicans, you know, whatever. It's not. They're toxic to every human being on the planet. They do not mind killing billions of people. They state they want to do it. Billions, not millions, yeah. Billions of people. They want to kill us. And they don't care if you're black or white or Asian or Hispanic. They want to kill you.
Let's get to the fundamental question here. We got about 4 minutes left, and I wanted to ask both of you, what's the prescription for correction? I see anti-incumbency, but I also realize there's limitations there, big limitations. Do you guys have any thoughts on what the average American watching this broadcast can do?
Personally, I think the best thing you can do is just worry about yourself, get yourself in good shape,
Personal preparation, train, yep. Prep, and pray. Right?
You're not going to change what's going to happen in this country. No one is going to go and arrest all of Congress. Nobody is going to go and make this all better. They're going to deny anything of Donald Trump trying to win an election. Hell, they just indicted him a third time. Now, look, I'm not negative Nancy over here. This is just facts. We're all grown-ups here. Let's look at this as grown-ups.
Bob, how do you answer that question?
The whole deck is stacked against us.
I agree. It is. We're running out of options very quickly. Bob, quickly tell us what we can do as American citizens.
Well, I totally agree with Doug. This is we're circling the drain, and there is no pulling it back at this point. We have been compromised in every field. You have to arrest half of America to get it correct. Maybe not half, but you'd have to arrest a lot of people. And those are the people that hold the very powers of arrest. Just a side point, more and more police departments are allowing non-Americans to join the police forces. They might not even speak your language. They don't have a cultural understanding of America. They don't understand the Bill of Rights. So it shows you what they're doing. It's basically, again, a repeat of history. But I totally agree with Doug, and I don't want to appear to be self-serving since I have a business that does that. But you need, first of all, get your heart right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand Psalm 91. Doug, you read Psalm 51 the other day, David's prayer of contrition after he committed sin. We need to be there. And then, surround yourself with good men and women of God. That's what Jamie Walden's Warrior Conference did. My son came back and I asked him what his most favorite thing was from that. He goes, "Dad, it was the fellowship. The Christian fellowship from real men, not girly boy, green haired people, but real men." And then, the physical preparation. If they're trying to steal your food, there's a reason why. You might want to think about food. If they're trying to shut down water, electricity, fuel, energy, you might want to think about acquiring some means to produce those things. From gardening to storing food, from a little solar panel to big solar system, Earth medicines versus their medicines. There's an alternate to everything that they're pushing down your throat. Homeschool versus public school.
Yeah.
These are all the things that Americans need to be doing right now. Get your kids out of those hell holes. Homeschool them. So that's what we do. I love what Doug said. Are you an asset or a liability? I don't think he said it on this program, but he says it frequently. Are you an asset or a liability? Well, if you're sitting around the TV set, even complaining, and you got your guns and you have all this, but you don't ever do anything, you're a liability.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You have to engage. You have to engage right now. An army that doesn't engage its enemy is worthless.
In the minute we have left or so, Bob, tell people how they can get a hold of you, because I know you like to help people with their preparation.
Well, they can call Ready Made Resources and speak to me, 800-627-3809. Also want to mention that Doug, in October, he has another active shooter course. This could be a little more advanced. SEER training will be involved. Medical training will be involved. That's going to be in October. What's the dates, Doug?
6th, 7th, and 8th.
You need to come to this. An army that doesn't train, an army that doesn't engage its enemy is worthless. If you're not training, I hate to say it, but you're going to be worthless. You need to train. Now, it doesn't matter if you're training in how to garden, how to educate, how to do anything. You need to be training some form or fashion right now.
Bob, hold on just a second here, because I want to get this out real quickly. Then we got to close. Where's the training at, and how do people register?
Well, they can go to readymaderesources.com, my website. At the very top of the page, there's a little icon that you can click, take a training course. Just click that, sign up for it. The class is limited.
Right.
We don't want a huge class.
Doug, how do people listen to your show?
America Vindicta Show at gsradio.net, 6, 7 p.m. Eastern time frame. Also on YouTube and Rumble and a few other places. AmericanVindictaShow.com. If you have any questions about anything that we've talked about, you can hit me up on my email, AmericanVindictaShow@gmail.com.
Yeah, with our bio lab discussion, this won't be on YouTube. That kind of is a sad commentary, isn't it? Gentlemen, I appreciate your candor, and I do agree with you. We are at the train, prep, and pray stage. We can try for political reform, because God might get a hold of a movement, work a miracle. And I think we need to still stay active in that. But the reality is, it says that we need to be preparing for individual survival. I totally agree with you. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on today. This has been Doug Thornton, my broadcast partner of American Vindicta. I'm Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, together with the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And our guest has been Robert Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Gentlemen, thank you for an interesting show.
Thank you.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in freefall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it. Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly,
800-627-3809. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." End of transmission.